This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:43. Right now, just turning 7:44. I'm Melissa Idris with Kusu Chuang and Brian Fernandez as we take a look at what's happening in business today. But first, let me tell you what's coming up on The Breakfast Grill. We have a very special guest on the grill today. In about 50 minutes or so, my conversation with Yanis Varoufakis, former Greek finance minister, economist and author, also described by many as the bad boy of European politics. Yanis Varoufakis was the Greek finance minister at the height of the debt crisis. So we caught up with him on the sidelines of the World Capital Markets Symposium 2018, which was brought to you by the Securities Commission. And we spoke to him about his account of the events that happened during that summer of 2015, which was chronicled in his book, Adults in the Room. There you go. So that's coming up just after the 8 o'clock news. But Chuang, I'd also like to come back to your conversation with Thomas Wisniewski. You just had him on the phone just now talking a little bit about the global markets. And, you know, quite interesting that he doesn't see this as a correction.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he's being very, very bullish. And he's basically telling clients to buy on dips, which is a bit incongruous with where markets and fund flows are. But I just want to also point out, quite serendipitous, that Yanis Varoufakis is talking about his book during the 10th anniversary of the global financial crisis.
Yeah.
And the fact that stock markets are now in bear territory, but correction territory.
But he has been very vocal about his views on capitalism and how he thinks, you know, it's just in decline and cannot be sustained.
Yeah, it's all very disconcerting because the thing is, the current market correction is postulated really based on fears that interest rate hikes out of the Federal Reserve and other central banks will precipitate a recessionary climate, right? Because obviously borrowing costs go up and the economy slow down. That's how the whole machine works. But it's very interesting.
But it's interesting, you know, Chuang, on the macro side of the equation, you essentially have synchronized global growth at the moment. You have got very strong earnings among U.S. companies. You've also got a very tight labor market in the U.S. economy. So actually, in the real economy sector and global trade, for example, trade flows are growing substantially. So in the real economic sector, you actually see a lot of positive news.
No, you're right. And the thing is, economic activity and market direction has been divorced. It's a bit like, all these Hollywood splits. It's been divorced from reality.
Brad and Angelina, isn't it?
Correct, exactly. There's been a disconnect from reality for some time. I mean, you look at it in Malaysia, right? I mean, this whole normalization curve is what's really causing the markets in America to correct. And it's basically this fear that interest rates will increase as the months go, because we've been in zero rate territory for years and years, right? It's not because the economy is doing badly. It's because they are afraid that the taps will be turned off and ice cream will be taken away from them. And that's the problem.
But the question is, how will it impact us here in Malaysia? I mean, the question really is, will Malaysia be affected by what's happening globally as well? No doubt we will be, but just how much we will be.
So just to reference Wisniewski's comments, he reckons that emerging market or money in emerging markets will go back to North America, clearly. Have you seen how the ringgit has come off from about 385, 386 levels early in January? To right now, 386, 393, 394.
But Chuang,
and that's a big snapback
also because it's also had a big run up. So perhaps one of the issues here is also some of the traders are taking profits.
Correct. And money is like that, right? It's very tempestuous. It comes in, it goes out. It's like a tide. You know, it's not as if it's here for the long term.
Well, the ringgit has appreciated nearly 10% on foreign buying of Ringgit Malaysia in anticipation of the rate hike that was announced by Bank Negara. Whether or not Bank Negara will hike more than once this year is anyone's guess.
Yeah, earlier this year, there was only an anticipation that Bank Negara would hike rates once. Now, I think that's changed and the market expectation is there's going to be another rate hike.
Yeah, so I just want to reference this blog that we follow quite closely, Econs Malaysia. Now, obviously, this guy has got access to data, and he's pointing out that wages have been growing robustly since July last year. Loans demand has also accelerated, and he says that's more than enough data to back the interest rate hike that has happened already on January 25th. Whether or not Bank Negara hikes again by the end of this year will be also contingent upon loans demand and how the economy goes forward. And based on what we've seen, and, you know, I mean, Serena Chia of Sunway Property just in the news today for saying that, she doesn't see a collapse in the property market. She says that they're launching $2 billion worth of properties this year. I mean, so from a player standpoint, Not necessarily.
And you know, speaking of property, the CBRE's Alan Su says the Klang Valley residential market actually has still room to grow. And he says there's no supply imbalance. In fact, he says that the current stock is just enough to satisfy the population and not enough to satisfy the incoming population of fresh graduates and new entrants into the market.
So not enough. So insufficient to supply. So where is there a time lag? Because, you know, the comments from the players seem to be different from the experience or the anecdotal experience on the ground.
Yeah, so actually I had coffee with Alan Su a few months ago, and he's actually pointed, because they've done the sums, right? They look at population, they look at influx, they look at urbanization, and then they look at what property players and other commercial guys are doing to, you know, because there's a building period, yeah, obviously you can't just introduce and tomorrow just open
doors. Sure, a bit of a time lag.
Correct. Yeah. So from a residential standpoint, no real imbalance, but from a commercial standpoint, yes. And that could be where the the problems might occur.
And when you, in your conversation with Alan Su, was the commercial both in the office sector as well as the retail sector? Was that what he's referring to?
Yeah, and specifically Klang Valley.
Mm, okay. So, yeah. It's kind of limited to the greater KL area. Guys, so let's move on to take a look at exports, because after a strong 2017, the International Trade and Industry Minister says that 2018 will see a slower total trade growth rate of 5%, driven by the country's domestic demand.
So Dato' Sri Mustafa Mohamad said that the IMF predicts that, in fact, global trade growth will be 3.9% this year. He believes that Malaysia's predicted 5% growth will be possible and will be driven by not only domestic demand, but also favourable external factors. So according to the ministry, total trade has increased by 19% to just under 1.8 trillion ringgit in 2017. Now, that's the highest growth rate in 13 years. So the strong numbers. Exports also saw their strongest growth since 2005, growing at almost 19% to reach a new high of 935 billion ringgit.
Yeah, bumper year for manufacturers, bumper year for exporters, right? I mean, look at it. And I mean, we're going to talk about Westports in a few minutes, but Westports had a full year profit growth of, what, 36%. So it's been really, really good. We've been running a trade surplus for 20 straight years. So basically, we've been selling more stuff to the rest of the world than we've been buying stuff from the rest of the world. And that's all really good news. But whether or not 2018 will portend the same in performance, you can't, because obviously, you can't have a stellar year all the time.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, it's... Tok Pa is essentially saying that total trade growth is expected to moderate this year. But he also concedes that the moderate forecast comes on the back of last year's very strong expansion pace.
This year, it's impossible for us to reach this kind of growth in the year 2018, given the high base in 2017. Having said that, I think there's potential of achieving about 5% growth in total trade in the year 2018, given, as you know, IMF has been revising forecasts for the world economy. This year, it's going to be 3.9% growth, according to IMF. The emerging economies are still doing well. China and India, these are very big countries among emerging economies.
That was Minister of International Trade and Industry, Dato' Sri Mustafa Mohamad. So essentially saying that there's a high base effect due to strong trade results last year that saw record highs for imports and exports. Whether or not this year we might see, you know, the stronger ringgit, the slowing global electronics cycle, all that might impact our export numbers negatively, that's yet to be seen.
Yeah, correct, because obviously 2017 did really well because 2016 was quite poor. So 2017 was on the back of a low base, and now 2018 will be off the back of a high base.
Exactly.
Right? But what is interesting, and I think this is quite positive for us in Malaysia, is because we've done quite well in pivoting towards ASEAN and China specifically. And we do most of our business with the rest of ASEAN. And ASEAN, what, 650 million people, $2 trillion worth of combined GDP, nominal GDP, of course, fast-growing, huge urbanization, huge middle class, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously, our biggest trading partner is China. So,
yeah,
again, China, need we say more, right?
But also interesting factoid is that Singapore is, among our ASEAN trading partners, is 50% of total ASEAN trade. So they're still a very, very important trading partner for us.
Yeah, I think, Singapore, given its proximity, that's not so surprising. But, you know, as China, as a single country, China has remained Malaysia's primary trading partner. Imports, largest share of imports, just under 20%. And total trading value with China really jumped last year 20% to 291 billion ringgit.
Yeah, obviously. So, you know, long term, we, you know, base effects taken aside, when you look over the long term, and you know how economists love to do this, right? You've got the year on year, you've got the quarter on quarter, and then you've got the 5, 10, 15 years. And those are the ones which really matter.
Well, speaking about trade, last year's strong growth looks to have helped the bottom line for Westports Holdings.
Yeah, that's right. So obviously, they are one of the barometers of export performance and import performance from Malaysia because they handle the most container boxes that come in and out of Malaysia. I want to correct myself because I said 36% full-year profit jump. That was a 36% quarter-on-quarter in fourth quarter.
Okay.
Full-year 6%. But the thing is, they had a bit of a blip in their performance because within their liner clients, and you know, the Maersks and the Evergreens of this, I think it's called Evergreen, there was a bit of a, you know, there's a whole wave of consolidations in the liner sector. So that's caused throughputs and containers volumes to decrease. But overall, what they did was they mitigated by catering then to the new alliance. Mm. And then they also built through, they spent 800 million ringgit on two new deep water container terminals called CT8 and CT9, which will become very original, by the way.
So essentially, they're really looking at expanding.
Yeah.
With such a large investment in the two new terminals.
Well, they don't have much of a choice because they were very hurt by the merger in the liner sector, their liner clients last year. So that really affected their transshipment volumes. They have to do something going forward and leveraging this new ocean alliance. So they've got some new services under that. And I think while Forward Guy, I think for them, they've just got to look at how they can transition successfully this year.
Correct. And I think just like how Malaysia's performed in the trade sector, they've seen a lot of growth in the intra-ASEA segment, right, which is what we basically see from an import-export perspective.
All right, well, let's take a look at Malaysia Airlines now, which is apparently hiring again. This after 3 years after it slashed a third of its headcount.
Yeah, you know, Malaysia Airlines, sorry, Brian, you know, it's been restructured under Khazanah National. So now Malaysia Airlines is 100% owned by a company called Malaysia Aviation Group Berhad.
Yeah, which MAB.
MAB, yeah. And, you know, it was those days, it was one just big behemoth with all the other businesses inside, including leasing and academy and what have you, mm-hmm. with 20,000 people. Now Malaysia Airlines, the airline itself, is just 7,000 odd people.
I see. So one of the things that they're hiring, they're looking at hiring for cabin crew, so also captains and first officers. And apparently they have had already in 2018 three job fairs. Now, why are they expanding? Essentially, well, they're going to take delivery of new aircraft. They're also expanding into new routes. So they've got new routes in China, Indonesia and Australia.
Well, you know, from a perception perspective, when Malaysia Airlines went on that, you know, job cuts spree 3 years ago, it really hurt their image. So I'm wondering now that they're back hiring, it's almost, you know, symbolic turnaround for Malaysian Airlines.
Yeah, you know, you'd have to assume that not necessarily cabin crew, but maybe pilots, because obviously experience matters mm-hmm. when it comes to, manning the craft. But it's interesting because what we've got now is a plan on the table. And this is a Khazanah National initiative, clearly, right? Azman Mokhtar, Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar, has always said that 2018 will be the year that they turn profitable. He spoke last month publicly that maybe this timeline will be delayed by 1 year. So that, you know, Malaysia Airlines might turn profitable next year instead. And then, which might impact its relisting plans because it's been very transparent about this whole re-entering the public markets again.
Well, you know, the CEO of Malaysia Airlines, Captain Isham Ismail, really said, I think not too long ago, said, okay, we've shrunk slightly and now they're looking to grow again. And his first job is to make the company sustainable again. So I guess moving forward, they're really looking to introduce maybe new routes this year, which will suit the specifications of the new aircraft that they can delivery of.
Yeah, so let's look at their performance as well. Apparently, they in 2017, they recorded a 2% year-on-year improvement on revenue average seat per kilometre, which is a key barometer in the aircraft business. In the third quarter of 2017, load factor remained stable at 77.5% compared to 77.8% in the second quarter of 2017. They also carried a total of 3.4 million passengers in Q3 2017. So that's lower than the 3.6 million passengers recorded in Q2. So they've got you know, a performance that actually has deteriorated slightly quarter on quarter.
Yeah, but you know, when you look at it, right, and sometimes when you search for, you know, when you, you know, sometimes your fingers get itchy, right, and you go look.
Only yours, Chuang.
And then you say, oh, you know, I wonder how much it's going to cost for me to fly from here to there. And then you do comparison between AirAsia and MAS. Sometimes Malaysia Airlines is cheaper than AirAsia. You
there
know?
You
actually,
go.
Actually, I've seen that a lot of times when I've been playing
and
around.
And that's boosted load factors, clearly.
All right, it's coming up to the 8 o'clock news. But if you're about to get out of your car to go up to the office, you might want to stay tuned via the BFM app. Because on the Breakfast Grill today, we have the bad boy of European politics, Yanis Varoufakis, former Greek finance minister. That's coming up right after the 8 a.m. news bulletin with Sabrina Magdalene. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.